This has been an ACB community call.
Today's Unmute Presents community call was hosted on Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another Unmute. As usual, a couple announcements here at the top. I want to remind everyone to please be respectful to everyone answering and asking their questions. We want to make sure everyone gets the same respect you would want. There are no dumb questions. And so you can go ahead and raise your hand and ask any technology-based question you may have, and we'll try and answer it for you. Also, we're going to take all first hands. So once we get through everyone's questions, the first go through, if we have time, we'll take second hands. Also, the question of the day is, what problem has technology solved for you? So that can be on your computer, your iPhone. It could be across the board, anything to individual. So if technology has solved some sort of a problem for you, what is it? We want to know. So with me, as always, I got Michael Babcock. How's it going?
Yourself?
Good, good. You're cutting good. In and out.
Oh, I'm cutting in and out. That's always fun. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Helps when you actually talk on the microphone. So just a real quick recap of what we published over the last week. Yesterday, we had a technically working. In that audio, we chatted about the Audient Evo 8, a new audio interface that I got, and a couple of other interesting topics you want to give a listen to. On Sunday with Digital Bytes, Pi.ai, my new favorite smart assistant, messenger apps, and a brief discussion about keyboard fun from Chris is what we chatted about. On Friday, we published two JAWS tips thanks to Marcy, one of which is three ways to get to the address bar using JAWS, and then selections in Explorer, File Explorer, how to make continuous and non-contiguous selections. On Thursday, Katie Talks Travel shared all about all-inclusive vacations and some accessibility challenges you might want to consider. And then we posted the Shell Phone Show on Wednesday, and we had the community event posted last Tuesday. Sheila, who do we got first?
All right, Michael Smitherman.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, and yourself? I assume you're doing good because you're here.
We are here, and we're doing good.
All right. Now, the technology has really helped, especially in the role I play with exhibits, because I don't have to wait on paper. But it's also created an issue that I'm having right now. And that is with emails disappearing. I can see the email come in, and I go to click on it, and it goes poof.
What platform are you talking about? A Windows, Mac, iPhone?
Windows.
Okay. Yeah. In Outlook, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've been on the phone with Microsoft, who blamed AT&T, who blamed Microsoft.
That's how it usually works.
Yeah. And then I went to the AT&T store yesterday, and they said, go to the Geek Squad. Well, I can't afford to leave my computer, lose my computer for the next 2 weeks.
What is your second half of your mail? Like, is it at Gmail, at Outlook?
At bellsouth.net.
I don't know that one. Is that set up, Michael, as IMAP? Do you know?
So,
you know, I don't know. How do I find out? That's, you know.
So I do believe it is IMAP, and this is a new problem, correct?
Yes, it just started in the last week.
Okay. So where my mind naturally goes is to potentially you have your show unread email messages. Actually, hold on 1 second. I'm taking a look at this. I believe it's one of the filters that may be causing your emails to disappear. Michael, do you have your email set up on your phone, or is it only on your computer?
Well, this one is only on the computer.
Okay, so you wouldn't know if the emails are showing up in other places then, because it's only on the computer.
Just on the computer through, because I'm linked to ACB with the exhibits, and so don't want that many emails on my phone.
I don't blame you. So here's where I would first try. From your email inbox, press Shift Tab 4 times, and there should be a radio button that says Show All Emails. Make sure that that radio button is checked. If you can, if it is checked and it continues to be an issue, then when you said you called Microsoft, did you call Microsoft or the Disability Answer Desk?
The Disability Answer Desk.
And they couldn't figure it out?
No, they blamed. They went in, and the guy thought I was nutty as a fruitcake. And he said, "That's not happening." I said, "Well, send me an email."
Well, so here's a simple way to sort of troubleshoot this. Do you have webmail that you can log into in a web browser and look at your email that way?
Yes.
So that's the first thing I would do. I would log into your email on the web in a browser, go into your inbox and look and see what emails are there. If the emails there are showing up and they're different from, let's say you have an email that's in your inbox on the web, but it's not in your inbox on Outlook, that means that it's a setting in Outlook, not necessarily a problem with your email. So I would look at both of those places and compare a little bit and see what's different. If they're exactly the same, then there could be a problem with the email. But I would try and send and receive an email from the web, and I would also check your inbox to look on the web and see if it's different from your inbox in Outlook. And that's going to tell you whether it's a setting in Outlook and you got to figure out what settings making your email funky, or if it really truly is something with your actual email. So first check your inbox, send an email from the web, and then receive an email from the web, which means you can just send yourself an email.
Okay. And then do what Mike said, Shift Tab 4 times in Outlook.
I think that's what he said. He's having some audio issues, I think.
Well, you know, when he gets to convention, he doesn't have any.
There you go. Yeah, we can hear you, Michael.
Okay. Shift Tab 4 times, and there should be a radio button that says Show All Email.
Okay. I'll
be checking that first and see if that helps.
All right.
And then otherwise follow what Marty was saying.
All right. Are y'all, is AT guys coming to convention?
I will reach out to you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Alt plus A. Mute.
Michael, you're very low. You need to raise your audio.
No worries. Thanks a lot.
Hey, buddy.
Who do we got next, Sheila?
All right, Pam.
Hey, Pam.
Good afternoon, morning, whatever, wherever in the country you are. I want to answer the question of the day. I could go to a lot of places with this, but one of the things that I can do now that I couldn't do even 5 or 6 years ago, because the app at that time was not fully accessible, and that is book a trip on Greyhound, the bus. But
they have an app, Pam, that you can.
Yes, they have a Greyhound app, and you create an account with them. And it's granted, it's a little tricky, but that's just the nature of the website. But at least now, you can book a trip online. Which, when I first installed the Greyhound app, was not accessible. It would take you just so far, and then you couldn't go any farther without looking at it, without seeing it. So that's one of the good things that happens. I do want to give a heads up. This is as of last week, and yes, I have notified them about it. United States Postal Service. If you are trying to have your mail held for a few days right now, that is not accessible. It will not let you select the date. It's a calendar, and you can click on that thing until you're blue in the face, and it will show the wrong date. So it right now, that is not accessible. And yes, they have been notified about it, but just heads up if you're going out of town in the next 2 or 3 days and you want to have your mail withheld. Good luck.
Good to know. And thank you for letting us know that, Pam. Travel safe, because I'm assuming you are traveling. And appreciate.
No, I'm back home. I'm back home now.
Okay. But well,
it was last weekend. Mm-hmm. And I will also tell you, it used to be accessible and now it's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, good. I'm glad to know that you did what we would suggest, and that is let them know. And hopefully they'll be able to get that fixed in the very near future. And thanks for letting us know about the Greyhound app. Appreciate that.
Thanks, thank ma'am. You much. All right,
Lori.
Hey, Lori.
Hey, Lori. Hi, guys. So the question of the day answer is, when I had a computer before, it was nice to write notes in a document or in a notepad rather than scrawling handwriting. When I could see, when I had vision, and now I don't have any, I would go up a hill and down a hill and sideways in every other direction and go over important spaces like the signature space. And now I don't have to worry about it because I can, if I had a computer, I can type on the computer. But with my iPhone, I can dictate. So I don't have to worry about making too many mistakes unless SIRI has a bad day. And but anyway, what does optimize battery do if I select that to charge my iPhone? I woke up this morning and my battery was 3% and I charged it all night last night.
You want to explain optimized battery, Marty?
Sure. So with optimized battery, there are settings in the settings app. And if you were to just plug your phone in straight to the power, what they're finding over the past, well, it's been going on a long time, but they've actually implemented the technology in the past couple few years. When you just plug your phone straight in, say like you go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, and then you wake up at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning. When you have your phone plugged in like that, it takes about 2 hours for it to charge all the way up. And then what happens is your battery just continues to try and charge all the time. And it tends to shorten the life of your battery, actually, because you're just continuously charging it. So the technology that they've inserted into the phones now, at least the newer phones and the newer operating systems in the past couple of years, is kind of like a trickle is what it's called. So it's going to charge your battery from whatever it's at up to 80%, and then it's going to stop charging your phone. And then at that point, it's going to try and figure out what your sleep schedule is. So let's say you go to bed every day at 10 o'clock and you wake up every day at 8 o'clock in the morning. At around 7 o'clock in the morning, it's going to continue charging your phone that last 20% so that your phone's not consistently, you know, trying to charge all the time as long as you have your phone plugged in. And they're finding now that it charges up to 80% and then it stops. And then when it figures out about when you're going to wake up, it takes that last hour and charges it that last 20%, that it's not like burning up your battery nearly as fast. So that's what that is.
That's good to know. So should I have that feature enabled or turned on then for that to work?
I would do, if you have, where it fails is if you don't have a sleep schedule that's consistent. So if you're every day going to bed at a different time, every day waking up at a different time, it may have trouble trying to figure out that last 20%. But if you
are pretty standard. Yeah, because you're right about that. My sleep schedule is inconsistent. So
right. There's
some nights I go to bed at midnight, other nights I go to bed much later, and I wake up much later. So it's inconsistent, yes.
Yeah, what I would probably suggest doing is turning it on and see, you know, how it does for you. If you're continuously not making that last 20% because you woke up an hour earlier, 2 hours earlier than you thought you were going to, or later or whatever, you just got to play with it and see. I mean, and you can try and
keep your phone plugged in once you wake up for that last 20%, but it's going to be a little bit of a trial and error. I would just kind of turn it on, try it, and look at it in the morning and see how it's going for you. And if it's not hitting that last 20% because you're not waking up, you know, at a regular basis or going to bed at a regular time, kind of have a regular schedule, you can always try leaving your phone plugged in when you wake up. You know, if you're going to be wake up and go have coffee and do whatever you do, and then see if you can get it on a schedule that way and like take your phone off the charger every day at 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever thing would work for you. But I would try it. It will make your battery last longer.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Because when my phone was brand new and it's an SE 2020, I'm not going to shell out $1,000 for a brand new iPhone. And even though Xfinity Mobile keeps advertising their latest, I'm not going to do what I did with flip phones of yesteryear. Have a collection of them, and then I don't know what to do with them. So
what phone do you have?
Because they're not. I have SE 2020.
Okay. I mean, you could always take it in and see if they can put a new battery in it. That'll probably cost you around $100.
I'd rather spend that than $1,000 for a whole new phone because I'm not. I spent $600 or close to it. $594.73 when it was brand new. And that was more than I wanted to spend, but it was worth it. And it took me four years to love it. So
another thing you can do is go into your settings, go to battery, and it'll also tell you the life expectancy left on your battery, how much you've used and how much life it thinks you have left in the battery. You can look there also and see that. But you know, if you don't want to get a new phone, you can always take it into Apple and they could probably put a new battery in it. And that costs you around $100, I'm guessing. And then try the trickle setting and then go from there. And thanks for your question. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks. I appreciate your help. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Have a great day.
You too.
Roberta.
Hey, Roberta.
Hi there. I am calling back. I talked with you guys a couple of weeks ago and I had a very bad connection about trying to make Wordle accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not catch anything that you guys suggested.
So if you, and I'm going to be fully transparent, I don't play Wordle. I know there are some accessible solutions out there. By chance, have you Googled accessible Wordle yet?
Yes, and I worked with some sighted folks for a couple of hours. This is on using my iPhone. Uh-huh. And we got stuck at the information that we found said to create a bookmark in Safari and then to take a piece of text that it provided and replace the bookmark with this piece of text. Open bookmark manager is what it said. And that's where we got stuck because nobody knew how to open what is bookmark manager in Safari.
So bookmark manager in Safari, there is a row of buttons either across the top or bottom of your screen. Going from left to right, you'll hear it say back, forward, and one of the options there is bookmarks. If you tap on bookmarks and then you tap on favorite, then you can edit the favorite that is saved to your phone. There are a couple of different guides out there for accessible Wordle. I don't have the directions offhand, so if someone else is listening and they do, they can raise their hand and share those directions. Otherwise, if you drop us an email to feedback@unmute.show, I will find these directions and review them and give you any sort of extra steps using VoiceOver that might be helpful if they're not included, and you can ask any specific questions you have as well, okay?
Awesome. And I'll, thank you. I just also wanted to respond to Pam Coffey regarding the Postal Service. I use their 800 automated system to do hold mail. It works great. So
perfect.
They have, it's 800-275-8777.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And we thanks appreciate for your help. It. Sheila, who do we got next?
Jeff.
Hold on.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Well, I'm getting ready to do a factory reset on my iPhone. And I was wondering if, and this will be the first time I do one, and I've got to make sure that I've got a backup in iCloud. But I was wondering if you could share any tips or gotchas for doing the factory reset and the restoration process. And thank you.
Well, I'll tell you this right out of the gate. Make sure you know all your usernames and passwords, because, and I'm not talking about just for your phone. I'm talking about any apps you're going to have to reinstall. Even if you were to wipe your phone and do a backup, any apps that require a username or a password, you're going to have to put them in again to access whatever that particular app's data is going to be. So know all your usernames and passwords for all the things.
Okay.
The other thing I would look at is how much cloud space you have to make sure that all your stuff is backing up. You can go into the settings and you can check your backup and look at when the last backup was, and it will tell you the day and time and whether it was successful. So you do that. Michael, you got anything else you can think of?
Related to frustrations of backing up your or resetting your phone, is that correct?
Yeah, just any tips or gotchas for the reset or restoration process.
If it's just for you, like if you're just resetting it and you're not giving your phone away, then you don't really need to worry about removing Find My. But if you do reset it to give it away, that's something to be aware of. And if you're using an eSIM on your phone, you're going to be asked if you want to delete the eSIMs. I typically do not. That way I don't have any issues with reactivating it. It can be done, but just be conscious of that as well.
All right. Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Yep.
Yep. Good luck to you.
All right. Somebody with 502 ending in 382. Can you tell us who you are, please? Star 6 will unmute you. All right, we'll go to the next. Hazel.
Hey, Hazel.
Hey, Hazel, how are you?
Oh, thank you. I'm fine. Excuse me.
You're really, really low. Is there any way you can turn up or talk into the microphone a little more?
Is this turning it up any?
A little. Try a little more.
Yeah.
That's better.
Going and going and going.
You're good. That's good.
Excuse me. Sorry. Well, I just heard several words that I'm either going to have to Google or I need to find. What is an eSIM, for one? The next thing is, how do you send an email from the web? And then the next thing I have is, I just got a new iPhone, and I don't quite know what to do with it. I mean, I have one that I'm not very good at using, but I got a new one now, an SE third generation.
And okay. Well, question number one, an eSIM is the little piece of technology that allows your phone to be actually a phone, which is, can you believe you can make phone calls on an iPhone? Wow. So it's now digital. So it's like an electronic SIM card, where before it was like a little physical card you had to put into the phone. Yeah. You don't really have to do that anymore. Now it's like a digital or an electronic eSIM. That's what the E stands for. So you can do it without having to actually put in a physical little card. It's just an electronic numbers that you put in the settings, and that's kind of like how the eSIM works. It's not a physical thing anymore. The email question is, most people check their email on their phone or on their computer using an app like the mail app on the phone or like Outlook on your computer. But you also, in most situations, not every situation, you can check your email on the web. And what that means is you would go to, like, we'll use Gmail for an example. You can open up whatever web browser you use. You type in gmail.com. You then use your credentials, email, and password, and that'll get you into your email on the web. So that's how you would look at email on the web. And you can do pretty much all the things you can do on either a mail app on your computer or your phone. You can look at your email, read it, send it, receive it, move it around in different folders, do whatever you want to do. So that's what that was. And then you got a new phone. So I don't know. You can do tons and tons of stuff. I don't know what thing you're looking to do.
Well, okay. First of all, that web thing. Does that mean that I would be able to pull up my email that's in Outlook?
Yeah. Outlook or any app that you have either on your phone or on your computer basically shows you on your computer or your phone the same thing as if you were to log into webmail, which would be through the web browser. It's like a convenience thing. It's so that you can just hit the button on your phone or your computer and your email just pulls up in either Outlook or mail on your phone, and you can send and receive and do all the things without having to go find a web browser and log into it that way.
Okay. I'm really very ignorant about a lot of this stuff.
You said you had a new iPhone. Is that what you have?
The Missouri Access to Technology got this for me. And so I have a lot of books on my other phone. You're talking about the eSIM. Does that mean that this eSIM could be on both phones or not?
Not necessarily. An eSIM is on the newer phones. They only go back a couple of years. It's a newer technology. The older phones still require a regular physical SIM card.
I have an iPhone 8.
Oh, yeah. I believe that's a regular SIM card. That's pretty back. We're talking more than 5 years.
Probably I should just go to the phone store with both phones.
You could do that. Another thing, you can come here and ask us questions anytime if you have things that specific that come up. I would also suggest talking to Pam Coffey. She does an iPhone 101 class. I believe it's on Saturdays. Pam, you want to, what time is that at, Pam? Or when is that?
It's every other Saturday, so the next one will be the first Saturday in May. It is at 6 p.m. Eastern, and it's in ACB Community. So if you're not in ACB Community, well, I guess you are because you're on this call, but if you get the daily schedule on, I don't have my calendar pulled up, I think it's May the 4th. Will be the next one. And so look on the daily schedule when it gets to May 4th, that'll be a weekend schedule, and come on in and we will try to help you. And while I'm unmuted, I have a suggestion for Lori about her battery situation. If it just suddenly went down overnight from a full charge to 3%, check several things. One is your auto lock. Make sure it's not unlocked all the time. Number two, the problem might be as simple as your charging cable. Your cable may have gotten fried. So if you're continuing to not be able to charge your phone, it might be your charging cable, or maybe your charger isn't plugged in all the way. That happened to me the other day. It somehow got jarred loose and it wasn't charging. So simple little solutions, could well be.
Definitely. Make sure that it is charging when you plug it in. Appreciate that, Pam. Hazel, hopefully that helps you out as well. And Sheila, who do we got next?
Can I ask you one more thing about my iPhone 8, I have a lot of books on it that I've downloaded from Bard.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to, if I switch over to the new phone, am I going to lose those books?
So what I would actually do, because I don't know if Bard books are moved over when you do a backup and restore. So I would go into, as you already mentioned, the store and have them transfer all of your data from one phone to the other. And then that should get your phone activated to your new phone working, and it should move your Bard books, but don't delete everything on your old phone until you verify that information, okay?
Yeah, but with the SIM card, will I not have access to it?
You will still have access to the content on your phone. The SIM card only impacts the connectivity to the cell phone network. which means if you have Wi-Fi at home, you'll still be able to even surf the web. And if you have books downloaded to your phone, even if you don't have Wi-Fi, you can still listen to those books on your iPhone 8. You will not lose that data.
Okay, good. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks a lot, Hazel.
All right. Let's try 502 ending in 382 again.
Hello, 502-382. I believe that's Kentucky.
Hi. Thank you. This is Terry Turlaw in Louisville. Hi. I have an iPhone question and then a really quick, stupid question. The iPhone question. I have my phone set for the touch typing style where, you know, you move your finger and lift it up to have the letter be activated. And I also checked, and that's activated on the rotor as well as in the voiceover settings under accessibility. Mm-hmm. However, my phone insists that I have to double tap a character in order for it to activate. And I'm not sure what level of deep gut reset I need to do so that I can change this setting and actually make it be touch typing.
There's two. Oh, go ahead, Michael.
So you said you went into settings, accessibility, voiceover, typing, and in there it's set to touch type.
Correct.
And is it set to touch type or direct touch type?
You know, I can't remember. Uh-oh.
If it is set to direct touch type, then what that really means is on-screen touch is when the key is activated. And if it's not activating, then double tapping would make it activate because you're then naturally touching the screen again. So I would verify that setting and make sure it's not set to direct touch type, but it is set to touch type.
Okay.
And then the thing I was going to suggest also is there's actually two different places for keyboard settings. I would check both of them. One is in settings, general keyboard, and the other one is in settings, accessibility keyboard. So I would check both of those places. They have different settings and do different things. And sometimes there is a funky thing that happens where it doesn't do exactly what you want right away. So a good way to solve that is to A, go into those settings, make sure they're selected on. And even if they're not, or even if they are, turn it off and turn it back on again. And then once you do that, then I would just quit out of settings and then restart your phone. And you can do that easily by saying, you know, ask Siri to restart your device. It does it.
Okay.
And you should be good to go after that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, here is my absolutely stupid question. I have never used an amplifier or any other thing to plug into a guitar. I have a guitar with the hookup in it for an amp. It also, the guitar also has the little visual tuner that requires batteries. I do not know if I require batteries in order to plug in a little jack into the guitar that then goes into an amplifier.
If you're going straight from the amplifier, you will not need batteries to plug it into your guitar because the amp is going to be plugged into the wall.
Right,
and then when you plug it into your guitar, you should be good to go.
Okay, so the batteries only refer to the tuner. Thank you so much.
Well, the batteries also would refer to a pedal if you have a pedal. Your pedal might need a battery.
Okay.
Usually it's a 9 volt if you do need one.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks much. Bye-bye.
All right, Jane.
Hey, Jane.
So for the person asking about Bard books, no, they're not going to transfer over as you back up your phone because they're on your device only, which I found out the hard way. When you back up your phone, just know that it's on device. I don't think it saves to the cloud. I don't think it does. All I know is it saves to the device.
Gotcha. So if you do a transfer and you transfer your data, you don't think the books themselves actually come over then?
Yeah, which I did transfer my data from my... I still do have an SE 2020 to the 14 Pro. When I did that, I didn't transfer over. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe they fixed it. But and yes, you can also install the SIM on the 2020, the third generation, if you're brave, on your own. It's on the right side. Use a paper clip and be very careful. There's a little hole on the mid right side. You pull the SIM tray out. It's a nano SIM. Make sure you get a nano SIM. Don't get any other SIM card, otherwise it will not fit. It will fit one way in. The triangular side should be, I don't remember on what side it's on. But yes, I've installed SIMs. And yes, there is accessible Wordle, which I've, I think, emailed you guys. So yes.
Before we call the next person, let me jump in here real quick. For people who got here late, the question of the day is, what problem has technology solved for you? So if you didn't hear that earlier, there it is again, question of the day. And if you want to chime in, raise your hand and go for it. Sheila.
Thank you, Jane. Go ahead, Sheila.
Janet.
Hey, Janet.
Hello. Actually, a lot of the SIM cards now come with a SIM card.
A SIM.
I think you need to put in your SIM card and take it out type thing, but I let my husband do that. I let him do the SIM card thing for me. But anyway, I was going to answer the question. Make doctor's appointments in the middle of the night.
Ooh, that's a good one. Go.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Are you using it just regularly, like through a browser, or do you have a specific app you're using? Just,
I have a specific app I can use too, and it is accessible. And my other thing was making rides in the middle of the night.
There you go. Sounds like someone's up in the middle of the night a lot, needing something to
Uber and all that stuff. So
very good.
You still could not do that, and community's got to be a big part of it too. So
cool. Thanks.
Thank you, all right, y'all have a great day.
You too.
Eugenia.
Hey, Eugenia.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I know for sure that the books don't transfer when you get a new phone, only the app, but you can still listen to them and even download books if you keep your old phone connected to Wi-Fi and use the iPhone like an old iPod.
Gotcha. Thank you, Eugenia.
Yeah. Yeah. And, also you can re-download the books to the new phone if you go to, you know, the Bar Mobile, get books. My question is about contacts on the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have lists, and for some reason I was, now when I open contacts, I have contacts on iCloud, and I have contacts on iPhone. How can I put them all together and see them all at once?
You want to go to all contacts. So when you open up the contacts section, then you have your list there. I think you can go back on the top left corner, and then you select the one at the very top, which is all contacts, and it will show you everything on your phone.
It doesn't work. And I think it's because I did have a list like financial, medical, or, you know, whatever list, services. So I did have list before in order for me to make it easier to find contacts. And but now something happened with the new updates that it separates them. And even if I press all contacts, it's a mess. They're all over the place. They don't even, you know, follow the alphabet or nothing. When I open all contacts.
So when you open all contacts, they're all in random orders as well. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And my important contacts, like, you know, emergency and all that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they don't appear like in let's say in iCloud appears two, or on iPhone if I press iPhone, they appear another, like, you know, four or five.
I don't know that I have an immediate answer for this, because that seems like it is potentially a setting, but when I go to all contacts, mine are showing in alphabetical order. The one thing you could try, when you go to all contacts, do you have a button at the top of your list that says merge duplicates? Because I did have a little bit of a little of extra unnecessary contact details when I went to all contacts, but I did merge duplicates, and it seems to clean it up a little bit.
Okay. I'm going to try that. Yeah, I didn't try that. But it says contact, you know, iCloud, let's say 300 contacts, and on iPhone is 100 contacts. It's a difference.
Yeah.
Quite big.
I wonder and if I you do not have syncing on in one of your devices. So if you don't have cloud syncing on for contacts, it may not update in all the places, only on one of the devices, the main device.
Okay. So I'm going to check settings and also...
You would go to settings and then iCloud and then go into your account and then make sure that contacts is checked on so that it will sync.
Yeah. Okay. But also the duplicate. I'm going to try that. And if I erase all the lists, because now you can make lists and show list 1, 2, 3 or whatever, and put a name.
You could do that. Just don't erase the all ones or the iCloud ones, because that's like the main one. Oh, then you'll get rid of all your contacts. For
that, yeah, you need to do one by one, because you need to go into each contact to get them out of the list. The lists are on the bottom at the where it says notes.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. I will try.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Joanne.
Hey, Joanne.
Hi, guys. I had a couple things. I wanted to answer the question of the day. Kind of hard to pick one thing because the phones are so much more portable, I say. Listen to my sports and podcasts and read books and everything.
Very good. Well, that's awesome.
And also, I had a couple answers to things. Okay. For Roberta, we have really good news because I play Wordle every day. And this morning, I totally missed it. But you don't need the special accessible bookmark anymore. So many people complain to New York Times that they've made it completely accessible on its own. So if you go to newyorktimes.com and I think it's /games right to their website, I shared that with my home screen, so I saved it in my games folder. And so I just go in there every day and it'll tell you which letters are present, which letters are absent, and which ones are where they're supposed to be.
Perfect.
So that is awesome, because I did the bookmark thing too when we had to do that, and it was a pain.
Well, awesome. I will have to record some content showing people how to save a bookmark to your home screen. And I'm glad to know that New York Times made this accessible for everyone, and you don't need an add-on. So thank you for that.
And the other thing real quick is that Jane was right. You cannot you can't transfer your books to a new phone, because I just got one too, but you can log into your Bard, into the website, and your download history is right there. So,
yep. And thank you for that as well. I appreciate that. So yeah, to the caller who is curious about if Bard will transfer, it is very clear it will not transfer. And I do appreciate the reminder of your download history, especially if the book is no longer on your wish list. So thank you for that.
Thank you, guys. Everybody try Wordle.
There you go.
Thanks a lot.
Who do we have next?
Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Well, they just took the words out of my mouth. First of all, I was going to say that the Bard, both website and app, do have the section called previous downloads. You know, okay. You always get books from there. Get your previously download. It's your download history is really what it is. And the main one of the main problems, I guess, technology has solved for me is going through snail mail. We call it now the regular print mail that we get in the mailbox.
Yeah,
I just easily go through that now without any. You know, thanks to the OCR and stuff, I can just do it myself. Don't have to have someone come and look through it for me.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great one. Thanks, Scott.
Perfect. All right.
Marie.
Hey, Marie.
Good morning, guys. I have an iPhone issue that I think may be something I'm going to have to go to Apple accessibility, but I'll try it here. I have three different devices, iOS devices, and I have an app for my Sonos speakers that allows me to control the speakers. Mm-hmm. I normally use that app primarily on one of the devices and only very occasionally on the other two. Day before yesterday, I tried to open it up in my new 15 Pro. Which had not, I don't know if I'd ever used it on that before. And it said that the app had been offloaded because of seldom use. And of course, it gives you the option to, you know, bring it back, and it's supposed to keep your login and your data and everything. So I did that. However, that icon does not appear anywhere on my home screen. And if I tell Siri to start Sonos, it does not start. It will not open that app. Now, I also got that same alert on my Mini 13, and I was able to get it back on that one, and it works fine. No problems whatsoever. Cool. And by the way, I've already gone in the App Store and told, I checked, that setting was turned off. It's not supposed to upload apps like that. So
when you go into the App Store on your 15 and you type in Sonos, does it say open there?
It does. It doesn't show.
It should show.
If it says open, but it won't. But it doesn't open.
But it doesn't open. And have you restarted your iPhone?
Several times.
Okay. So where I would go in this instance is I'm checking real quick. If you go down to, if you go into your settings, because I use Sonos as well, and you can scroll your apps with three fingers flick up to get to Sonos. And then there isn't a way. I'm checking here.
It's like that app is just hung up somewhere. It's on the phone, but I can't access it at all.
But you can't find it on your screen, correct?
No.
Okay. So if you three finger flick to the right all the way to your last page and then do it again, you should be taken to the app library. And then you can double tap on the folder that it might be in and then find Sonos and then double tap and hold, and that should give you the option to remove the app and then reinstall it from the App Store.
Okay. By the way, I've used the app library very seldom. How do you get back out of that? Three finger flick to the left. Okay. I'll try that. And if not, my next thing, like I say, is to call Apple accessibility because it's a really sticky issue.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to
Go along with Scott. One of the biggest problems it solved for me is dealing with my mail.
One of the things you could try to do if you're concerned about getting into the app drawer or whatever they call it, you can just do a three-finger swipe down from the home screen. And in the search box, you can type out the name of the app. The icon will show up right under there. And then you can double-click it from there to open it.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
All right, you've got about, if you want to stop at 5 till because of Lady A, you've got about 6 minutes and you've got about 5 hands. So,
all right. Thank you.
Nora.
Hey, Nora.
Hello.
Hello.
What technology helped me a lot with current issues? The question is, what technology helped solve problems?
Yep. What problem has technology solved for you, Nora?
What problems? I'm not sure. You mean technology problems or?
No, just what problems in your life has technology solved for you? Some people have mentioned that it solved the problem of not being able to read the mail. Some people have mentioned that technology has given them community to stay engaged with others. What problems has technology solved in your life?
Well, it solved technology, like my smartphone. It solved the problem of not being able to connect to ACB community on the go. But only problem I have is that I don't have I wear a hearing aid in my right ear, and I talked to the audiologist, and she said for me to wait until October to find out if my hearing aid will be compatible to hearing other things from my smartphone, not just the controls, but the other things like videos and things like that. So I have to wait.
Gotcha. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that your technology has brought you into community, and we appreciate you engaging.
Thank you. My computer and my iPad also. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thanks, Nora. You have a beautiful day.
Yeah, you too. Welcome. Thank you.
Petra.
Hey, Petra.
Hey, Petra.
Hey, guys. I'll be really quick. The technology that I like that has solved problems for me are a few of the apps that identify U.S. paper currency. The other app that I like very much is an old one I've had for at least 8 years called Digitize, which reads barcodes and instructions on food packages sometimes. I love those too. The other thing I wanted to say is I have discovered that my original AirPods Pro that I got 4 years ago and the new AirPods Pro number 2 definitely have a different sound. The old AirPods sound better when I'm listening to phone conversations like this one. Mm-hmm. And the AirPods Pro 2 sound better with music. So that's my two comments, and I'll let you go to the next person.
Well, all right, thank you very much, Petra. That's awesome. Who do we got next, Sheila?
You only have one hand now. Two people left. Pam.
Hey, Pam.
Hey, Pam.
Yes, I'm back. And I did not catch the girl's name, but the one who was having problems with her contacts. And I think there may be a language issue going on here. But she probably was only going on the iPhone, on my iPhone list, and that would only show a few. She needed to go to all contacts, not just iCloud, but all contacts. And they will be in alphabetical order, all categories together. In other words, if your emergency contact is, say, a pharmacy like Walgreens, it's going to be way down near the end of the list in the W's. And if you have a restaurant contact, the name starts with an A, it's going to be near the top of the list. But the restaurant contact that starts with a P is going to be better than halfway down.
And Pam, the other thing that I think that may be influencing her, and I believe she's still here, is by default, contacts are sorted by last name. So
yes, they are.
Seem like it is in not the most organized order, because you might want to go into your settings and then contacts and sort by first name, and then that'll put it in alphabetical order by first name, and then you'll hear their last name.
And if they were entered incorrectly, in other words, if you put the name of a business on the line where a person's name should be, a person's first name or a person's last name, that can really mess you up.
So thanks, Pam. And Eugenia, go ahead real quick. No, I heard you comment.
Yeah, real quick. Yeah, no, I've been using contact since the first iPhone with VoiceOver.
Gotcha.
And I check, on the last name, first name, I check it the way I like it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I did different is on the first name, like for medical, I put an for my doctors, I put an M and then doctor whatever, because I need to have them gotcha. Near and I need them fast mm-hmm. for my mm-hmm. situation. Gotcha. So those are the only one, and also the important. Yeah. No, gotcha. It's something yep. with a list. Yeah, that's the list. That's what it's doing, and I can get rid of that. Well, thank you anyways for yep. your suggestion. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Scared
both of you. Thanks a lot. And Sheila, I think we have like 1 minute.
You've got Jeff.
Jeff.
Just echoing what the other people said about technology, I agree with all of those, I believe. I love Apple Pay, and that's taken away a huge anxiety when I'm out and about. Like Apple Pay for those merchants who take it is a super cool technology.
Perfect. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. And I think we will wrap it up. So Games to Play with Lady A is on time. So Marty, do you want to go ahead and wrap it up? Maybe. Oh, nope. We don't hear Marty. So I will go ahead and wrap it up. If you have any questions, send us an email to feedback@unmute.show. And if you want to share any tips or tricks, and stay subscribed to the podcast so you can get some interesting content coming up over the next couple of days, because we've always got something new and fun. Thanks, Sheila. Thanks, Bell. Greatly appreciate each and every one of you for joining us. And again, unmute.show for a replay of today's show. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, y'all.